translation.
Brahma, although I am as the great Brahma, although I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities, and am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The purport is a little long. Brahma, the greatest of all living creatures within the universe, is admitting his failure to know the Supreme Lord, despite his vast learning in the Vedic wisdom, despite his austerity, penance, mystic powers, and self-realization, and despite being worshipped by the great Prajapatis, the forefathers of the living entities. So these qualifications are not sufficient to know the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji could understand the Lord to a little extent only when he was trying to serve him by the eagerness of his heart. Ridot kanchavata yavata, which is a devotional service mood. Therefore, the Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service and not by any amount of material qualification as scientist or speculative philosopher or by attainment of mystic powers. This fact is clearly corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita, 1854-1855, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakangsati Samasaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param Bhakchamama Bijanati Yavanyas Chasmitat Pataha Tato Mam Tatpato Gyatva Vishate Tat Anantaram. Only by self-realization, by attainment of the above high qualifications of Vedic wisdom, austerity, etc., can help one on the path of devotional service. But failing in devotional service, one remains still imperfect, because even in that position of self-realization, one cannot factually know the Supreme Lord. By self-realization, one is qualified to become a devotee, and the devotee, by service mood only, can gradually know the personality of Godhead. One should not, however, misunderstand the import of Vishate, enters into, as referring to merging into the existence of the Supreme. Even in material existence, one is merged in the existence of the Lord. No materialist can disentangle self from matter, for the self is merged in the external energy of the Lord. As no layman can separate butter from milk, no one can extricate the merged self from matter by acquiring some material qualification. This vishate, by devotion, bhaktiya, means to be able to participate in the association of the Lord in person. Bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord, means to become free from material entanglement and then to enter into the kingdom of God, becoming one like him. Losing one's individuality is not the aim of bhakti yoga or of the devotees of the Lord. There are five types of liberation, one of which is called sajuja mukti, or being merged into the existence of body of the Lord. The other forms of liberation maintain the individuality of the particle soul and involve being always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The word vishate, used in the verses of the Bhagavad Gita, is thus meant for the devotees who are not at all anxious for any kind of liberation. The devotees are satisfied simply in being engaged in the service of the Lord, regardless of the situation. Lord Brahma is the first living being who directly learned the Vedic wisdom from the Lord, Teni Brahma Hridaya Kavaye Adi Kavaye. Therefore, who can be a more learned Vedantist than Lord Brahma? He admits that in spite of his perfect knowledge in the Vedas, he was unable to know the glories of the Lord. Since no one can be more than Lord Brahma, how can a so-called Vedantist be perfectly cognizant of the absolute truth? The so-called Vedantist, therefore, cannot enter into the existence of the Lord without being trained in the matter of Bhakti Vedanta or Vedanta plus Bhakti. Vedanta means self-realization, and Bhakti means realization of the personality of Godhead to some extent. No one can know the personality of Godhead in full, but at least to a certain extent, one can know the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, by self-surrender and a devotional attitude, and by nothing else. In the Brahma Samhita also, it is said, Vedeshu Dulabham, or simply by the study, or simply by study of Vedanta, one can hardly find out the existence of the personality of Godhead. But the Lord is Adulabham Atma Bhakto, very easily available to his devotee. Srila Vyasadeva, therefore, was not satisfied simply with compiling the Vedanta Sutras, but over and above this, by the advice of his spiritual master Narada, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to understand the real import of Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the absolute medium by which to understand the absolute truth. Soham sama nayamayas tapo maya prajapatinam abhivandita pati astaya yogam nipunam samahitas tamna jagacham yata atma sambhava. Om jnana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chaksurun militam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha panchakaupa trubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nipunam. Evam parampara praptam data. Lord Brahma is the head of the sampradaya, the first living creature in the universe. And one can say how he became initiated if he was the only living creature. So it says that Krishna initiated him from within the heart. And thus he received all Vedic knowledge and Vedic mantras by which he could empower to create the universe. And his sons, he gave Vedic knowledge, and thus it was passed down through the universe into human society. Evam parampara praptam, one must receive this knowledge through disciplic succession. Yat chadadana munayas. When Lord Chaitanya met the Mayavadi sannyasis, they were all speaking of Vedanta this, Vedanta that. So one of the first things he said to them was that he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam saying that this bhakti is based upon Vedanta. That the serious student or sage, well equipped with knowledge from the Vedanta, can realize that absolute truth through the process bhakti shruti grihitaya, through the hearing about bhakti. Krishna says, maya sakta maya pata, that touch chinu, simply by hearing about bhakti, everyone is qualified to engage in bhakti. This is the litmus test or the ultimate situation for advancing in spiritual life, is to get to this platform of hearing. Shravanam. There are so many people in the material world taking up spiritual activities from India. So many people interested in yoga and Vedanta and kirtan. But until they hear from the devotees, from the authority, Srila Prabhupada, who is the representative of the disciplic succession, they cannot progress very nicely because they are full of mental speculation. Jnana prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivansan mukaritam bhavadiyavatam. Stanistita shrutikatam tanuvanmanobhiya. So Krishna says, Lord Brahma says that until one gives up this habit of speculating on the absolute truth, he cannot make progress. Shruti grihitaya. One must hear from the devotees, from the representatives of the devotees, representative of the pure devotees, in order to start the path of bhakti. And this bhakti can be achieved by anyone. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yona, Papa Yoni, even the sinful, low-born person can take to the path of bhakti yoga simply by hearing. Therefore, Lord Brahma, he says, although I've heard Vedic wisdom, my situation is that I cannot understand him. So, Prabhupada makes this distinction in the purport that you become self-realized, what is the Atma, what is the soul, what is the material world, Sambandha Gyan, who am I, what is this universe? You become self-realized by Vedanta, by Vedic knowledge, karma, yoga, meditation, reincarnation. And then from that platform, one can engage in the devotional service of the Lord, provided one has received the knowledge of bhakti yoga through the disciplic succession. So by the Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Subjadei, by the process of speculation, one gets to Brahman. One can reach Brahman. By the process of mystic yoga, one can understand the Supersoul, Paramatma. And by the process of bhakti, one can understand all three, Bhagavan. So the process of bhakti is always supreme because it's very easy. Tasyaham sulabha. Krishna says, ananya cheta satatam. By thinking of me in pure devotion, one can attain me very easily. Whereas those who are speculating, those who are great yogis, if they're not devotees, they cannot understand the process of bhakti. In the spiritual world, there are no mystic yogis or Vedantists. Everyone is a devotee. They engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. They engage in the nine processes of bhakti. So these are actually spiritual life. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jiva Goswami says that this knowledge and vairagya, detachment, cannot be counted as limbs of bhakti. They're not even, they're only tiny little bit helpful in the beginning so that you can actually find some time in your life to attend talks by the devotees and chant Hare Krishna. So we don't give much importance to this Vairagya Vidya. But the whole world is worshipping this Vairagya Vidya. Just like there's some yogi sitting somewhere in Rishikesh, and he's got beautiful dreadlocks and nice big beard, and everyone is thinking, what a great yogi, what a fantastic yogi. And how wonderful he is. But in his heart, he's looking for some sense gratification. He's thinking, when will the opportunity come? And then the devotee, he's running to the shops to buy boga because it's late, they've got to cook a feast, and he's driving, he's paying at the till, or he's cleaning the temple room. They're thinking, look at these sentimentalists. See? But the devotee in his heart, he's thinking, I'm doing service for Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham. This is the greatest yogi, because he's serving me. He's trying to please me. There's no independence from Krishna. It's only service and relationship. The devotee only wants to serve Krishna and get Krishna's association. So the jnanis and the yogis and the jnanis, yogis, karmis, yeah, they're all busy in selfish activities. The karmis want to enjoy their senses, therefore they have no self-realization. The yogis and jnanis, they have little self-realization. So they're trying to, vairagya, jnan, they're trying to go forward in this line, liberation. They want liberation, or the yogi wants mystic powers. So they're not peaceful. Yat pada pankaja bilasa palasa bhaktya kamasayam gratitam udgratayanti santaha tadvan narikto matayo pirudha shoto ganam tam adanam bhaja vasudevam. This is the four kumaras. They say, I advise you to worship Vasudeva, worship Krishna. Only by this process will you easily overcome your karmic bonds. And the great yogis and jnanis, they cannot overcome their karmic bonds because in their heart, they haven't discovered their relationship with the Lord. They're not even worshipping the Lord in a ananya, pure way. So although a devotee may have material desires, he may not be very intelligent, he may be weak, he may be so many faults. He starts this devotional life, he is greater than all the yogis because simply wants to please Krishna. Yogi namapi sarvesha. He's madgatanantratmana, he's the best. He's the best. So this process is very simple. Striyo vaishas tata sudras. Everyone can take to bhakti, and anyone can understand bhakti by hearing about Krishna. This chapter is about the glories of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells to Sanatana Goswami the glories of Krishna. And he gets completely lost. He goes through this, he talks about the unlimited material universes. Krishna, when Lord Brahma became before him in Vrindavan, Krishna created all the millions of universes on the spot in one moment, right there in front of him. No one has ever done this. So Lord Brahma says, the glories of Krishna are beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the opulence of Krishna, he tells this story of Lord Brahma when he went to Dwarka, and the gatekeeper asked, which Lord Brahma are you? So Lord Brahma was confused. Later on, he went to Krishna. He asked Krishna, he said, when I was at the door, the gatekeeper asked me, which Lord Brahma? I thought I was the only one. So Krishna just tapped his cane onto the floor, and the whole room was filled with Lord Brahmas. And none of them could understand there was only another. None of them could see each other. Only the one Lord Brahma, Chatu, what's his name? Chatumukhe, four-headed Brahma from this universe. He could see all this, and he was bewildered. Similarly, when Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys, Krishna started to show him his opulence, that everything was a Vishnu form. All began to dance and chant Hare Krishna, and glorify Krishna, all the expansions, unlimited. Every atom was becoming Vishnu. And Dantarasta, Paramanu, Chayantarasta. Krishna's everything, Sava Kalva, Idam Brahma. So Lord Brahma was getting so, his four minds were reaching the limit of their capacity. He was going to have a nervous breakdown, panic attack. So Krishna just withdrew all the display of opulences, and he was there, just a little cowherd boy with a sweet ball in his hand, smiling sweetly by Govardhan Hill. And Lord Brahma then offered these prayers, says, I don't know anything about you. I can't. What can I know? The best thing I can do is to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that the dust of your pure devotees will fall on my head, and I will feel this love that they have for you. And Vrindavan is just full of pure love for Krishna. So we have these nine cantos of the Bhagavatam, and we have this second canto, which devotees, they say, oh, it's so difficult, the second canto, it's so philosophical, creation. I mean, it talks about creation in the first chapter. Now we're on the sixth chapter, still talking about creation. So this nine cantos is there to get into your heart. How powerful is Krishna? How powerful is Krishna? How opulent is Krishna? Billions of universes. His expansions are unlimited. His incarnations are unlimited. His Shaktivesha avatars, Leela avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, all unlimited. Millions of Lord Shivas, millions of Lord Brahmas. This material universe is just one quarter of creation. The spiritual sky is vast. Each Vaikuntha planet is billions and billions of miles of breadth. And above them all is Goloka Vrindavan, which is bigger than all of them combined. The whole of Vaikuntha is just sitting in one corner of Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. So this, when Krishna plays his flute underneath a kadamba tree by the river Yamuna, what is that? What is that? See how the wonder and sweetness of Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatana Goswami, he talks about the three aspects of Krishna. He's saying, oh, there's three guna avatars. Then he talks about this Mathura, Dwarka and Vrindavan. Then he talks about Vrindavan. And he becomes overwhelmed with the sweetness of Krishna as his final topic. The sweetness of Krishna cannot be measured. Madhuram, madhuram, like that. So we have to hear all these things so that by the time we're ready, then when we meditate on Krishna, when we remember Krishna, when we chant Hare Krishna, when we see the deity of Radha Gokulananda, we don't take it as a something light, this bhakti. It's not some sentimental, simple thing. A very heavy thing to serve Krishna. Very heavy. That's why when Krishna, he is taking the essence. We may not understand what we're doing. We're serving the deity. But Krishna sees in the heart, what is the sincerity? What is the essence of all the things we're doing? All the things we do in bhakti is meant to bring out this shadanam, surrender to Krishna, of the individual. Surrender to Krishna in love and affection. Bhakti, bhakchamam abhijanati. And tesham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. The more this priti, this affection comes in the heart, the dhammi buddhi yoga. And then Krishna will give you all intelligence, all knowledge, and show you how you can go forward. And he'll just take the essence of your sincerity, your surrender. He doesn't look at the externals, but we should try to improve the externals as an offering of devotion. So all these activities of bhakti, they will give us the real Vedanta. Vedanta krit, eva vid, eva chaham. And we will realize what is Krishna, how sweet he is by this surrendering process. So the devotee, his Prabhupada talks about reject Sayuja Mukti. There's many verses where the devotee rejects all types of liberation. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Mama Jammani, Jammanishvane. Not even want liberation. We don't want freedom from this world if it means we don't get Krishna's association, if we don't get Krishna's service. So we reject all forms of liberation. We don't want to go to Vaikuntha. We only want to serve Krishna in Vrindavan because he is Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Bhagavan is one, Krishna. Bhagavan, I just found out, Bhagavan means the most loving. Krishna has more love than anyone. This is Bhagavan. So we want to serve Krishna and Narada Muni, Vyasadev, Prabhupada mentions here, he wasn't satisfied compiling the Vedanta Sutra. He had to then compile Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. So although we read Bhagavatam, first nine cantos, we should all read Krishna book immediately. There's no qualification. And we should understand Krishna more and more. What is Krishna in Vrindavan? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, by devotion alone, one can please Krishna. So, tam prasangam mama vira samvido bhavanti ritka narasayanakata. Our whole thing is, we cannot understand Krishna, but by satam prasango, Krishna katha, we can begin to get a taste for hearing about Krishna. This is our process. Little taste is there. More and more. Shravanam Kirtanam. Is there any comments or questions? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, Prabhu. We can...
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your class. I just had a question about the position of like Lord Brahma. So he has direct darshan of Krishna, you know. He has pastimes with Krishna. It says here he's the kind of like the master of like Vedic knowledge in this way, but still he can't understand the Lord. So what hope is there for us?
I just read that, I can't remember who, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that Krishna, he exhibits one spiritual quality for each living entity, one unique quality. So just imagine. So everyone is individual, they are unique, and Krishna can only taste this quality when he's with you. So Krishna is unlimited enjoyer. He wants to enjoy unlimitedly. So every living entity has some unique quality that Krishna cannot appreciate with anyone else, cannot taste. So he's the raso vaisa, akila rasa amrita murti. He's the form of all mellows. So Krishna wants to enjoy mellows with every living entity. Mamai Vangsa, Jiva Loka, everyone is Krishna's Angsa. Everyone is Priya, very dear to him. And similarly, the Krishna is dear to everyone. He is the one, we are the many. Bahusham, for his enjoyment, he unlimitedly manifests living entities. For his enjoyment. So there's no question of I'm not qualified, how am I going to do it? No, this is not the... You're part and parcel of Krishna. That's all. You belong to Krishna. Only by Maya you're thinking, I have independence, I am separate, I am struggling. This is all Maya. Mataji, do you want to wait for the mic? Because they want for the internet. Oh, Antaranga's got the mic. Let him go first.
There's one very interesting point by Prabhupada in the purport. He says, therefore, the Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service.
Hmm.
So my question is, Prabhu, if you can give advice to the devotees, or to me specifically, how one can develop the mood of eagerness for service. How can one maintain eagerness in service and mood? Because we may have material qualifications or not, but this is something which is much, much more subtle, and it may evaporate over the years. But how can we take it? How can we maintain it? Mood of eagerness.
By Shravanam, Kirtanam. By hearing regularly, by chanting, especially by chanting Hare Krishna. Nicely. If you do this, then all your eagerness will come. And if it doesn't come, you have to patiently wait for it.
That's all.
I mean, we go through so much in our life, and the thing that's going to keep us eager for more progress in Krishna consciousness is the holy name. Chanting Hare Krishna. Is it? What else could we say? Mother Guru, anything we could say? Yadava? What could we say? How to remain eager? Association. Good association. Yeah.
Try to stir the advanced Vaishnavas.
This is the key.
And by their mercy, they get a little taste. Also, I was going to mention there's Gyan and there's Vigyan. So in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we're studying, we're getting knowledge. But we have to realize that knowledge. And that takes a long time. So we just have to stick with the process and again, chant Hare Krishna sincerely and serve the devotees.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, assimilation takes a long time. And association devotees, this is a key, very important point. Associate with devotees who are eager. Find the devotees who are enthusiastic. Utsahan nischarya dhariya.
Hare Prabhu, thank you for a really nice class. Two questions. One of them was, how much of what Lord Brahma is saying is him in the mood of a devotee displaying his humility, not feeling that he has any full realization of the Lord? And then the other question would be, who would realize the Lord most fully?
Okay, well, that's easy. The second part of your question is easy to answer. Actually, there's only one person who fully realizes the glories of Krishna in all its perfection and glories. Is that Srimati Radharani? And when Lord Brahma here, or throughout different parts of the Bhagavatam, he's feeling the humility of devotion sometimes like that. I don't think he's not acting. He's not. It's not a show, or he's doing it for the benefit of others. No, he's actually feeling it, and in his position as Lord Brahma, he's just like us. He's in the material world, and he's not in his swarup. So he may be very advanced devotee, and he may be feeling separation from his eternal serving mood. We don't know. But he's Jiva Shakti. And he's stuck in the material world just like us. And he may be advanced sadhana. Prabhupada gave one class. He said the pure devotee is greater than Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. And he gave the example that one time Lord Brahma, he fell down. He made a mistake. And then he said Lord Shiva also, he was in meditation in the Himalaya, and Parvati came and broke his meditation, and he married Parvati. But he said, Haridas Thakur, on the other hand, Maya Devi herself came to him and displayed all her charms, but he was fixed and immovable and actually made her a devotee. He was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Prabhupada said like that. So he was glorifying the process of pure devotion and the pure devotee as greater than Brahma and Shiva. Of course, they have various roles. And sometimes they're displaying the mood of pure devotion, sometimes not. When Lakshmi Devi was choosing her husband after the churning of the milk ocean, she was going, seeing all the personalities there and seeing who was the most qualified. So Shiva was practically fully qualified, but because he hung out in crematoriums, she didn't like that. That was his fault. So then she chose Mukunda, Lord Narayan. And he was fully independent. So everyone there wanted to marry the goddess of fortune, except Lord Narayan. He was fully Atmarama, self-satisfied. So she chose him. So everyone has some faults, except the Lord. Only the Lord is fully perfect. Only Krishna. He's fully without fault. Every word he speaks is perfect. Every activity he does is fully perfect. Prabhu, Godrum, Bihari Das. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the nice class. You were talking about the power, opulence of Krishna, and something came to mind. It was a story that was recited by Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and he said that Nanda Maharaj, because he's engaging in business and big business, agriculture, so many things, and sometimes they incur some sinful reactions. So Nanda Maharaj, he was getting ready to go to Prayag, So he asked Mother Yashoda to make some samosas for the journey. Yes. Because he's going to Prayag to take bath and purify himself of any reactions. Then young Krishna says to Nanda Maharaj, can I have some samosas? So Nanda Maharaj said, I need these for the journey. he was reluctant to give him the samosas. But so then this was at Pavan Sarovra this past time. So as Nanda Maharaj started to walk, he saw some celestial divine personality on the banks of Pavan Sarovra. And so he thought, who is this personality? So he went there, like, amazing divine personality. He said, who are you? He said, and the personality said, I am Prayag Raj. I am Prayag personified, And he said, what are you doing here? He says, everyone comes, to my place and they leave all their sins. Then to purify myself, I come to Pavan Sarovra where Krishna has bathed and performed his pastimes and I purify myself here. Then he saw, Ganga Devi, all divine personalities in their spiritual forms coming there. So then he thought, okay, fine. Then he says to Krishna, okay, you have the samosas. I don't need to go to any of those places. I'll just bathe in Pavan Sarovra.
Jai Pavan Sarovra Dham Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Aparana Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Bhakti Vedanta Manadam Ki Jai.